Let us read together Isaiah 41, verse 8 to 13. Isaiah 41, verse 8 to 13. I'll be reading from NIV, verse 8. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its furthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So do not fear. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am your Lord, your God. For I am the Lord, your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. I'll repeat verse 13. It says, for I am the Lord, your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. This message was given to the nation of Israel, and it came from God, who was promising them for restoration as they were in exile. And this was a time when they were so frightened, so afraid of the situation that they were in, and they didn't see hope. And this is God giving them a message of hope. One of the mysteries that was hidden from us is the mystery of tomorrow, as we call it. It is the mystery of what will happen to me in the next minute. What will happen to me in the next hour, or what will happen to me tomorrow? We all don't know what will happen to us in the next hour or tomorrow. In this life, as we get to live, we get to be so filled with what if. The question what if goes on in all of our minds almost every day. That's why we try to be as much careful as we would want to be, because of what if. What if I fail? What if I lose my job? What if I don't get business, if I want to start business? What if I get sick and not be able to provide for my family, if I choose to have a family? What if I fail in trying to do anything that I want to do? What if it's not my calling to do God's work? Many of us may doubt it. Like, what if it's not my what if it's not my calling to do God's work? What if my relationship or my marriage doesn't work out if I choose to be in a relationship or marriage? Fear is a spirit that holds us back from growing and achieving what God intends for us. Fear is from the devil. And just like the devil himself, it only comes to destroy and take away our joy from life. John 10 verse 10 says, for the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they would have life and have it abundantly. Fear comes in to destroy what we have. Fear comes in to destroy what was intended for us, and that is joy. And for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. As it says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 17, fear is not from God. Fear is from the devil. And it takes away more potential that would have been realized and achievements that would have been realized. But because of fear, many of these achievements, many of these potentials that we've had, that God placed in us, get to be lost for eternity. You and I have things that we know that we must achieve, at least this year as we plan. Or maybe last year as we planned, we had things that we had to achieve. But many of them didn't get to fruition. Many of them didn't get to pass because we were afraid, because we were restricted by fear, and we didn't go on to achieve such things. I want us to look at the story of the three servants, as some call it. Some call it the story of the bags of gold. And this story is found in Matthew 24, verse 14, up to 13. So I'll be reading from NIV as well. We can go to Matthew 24, verse 14 to 30. It reads, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave five bags of gold, to another two bags, and to another one bag, each according to his ability. I underlined the word each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received five bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. So also, the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the one who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Excuse me. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other five. Master, he said joyfully, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said joyfully too, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Verse 24, now the last man. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I believe with a grumpy face, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who had 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A sad story about the third servant. And I want you to notice, as for the reason why he gave, that he went ahead and hid the bag of gold. The reason why he went and hid the bag of gold, dug up and hid it in the ground, he said he was afraid. He had fear in him, and he was afraid of his master. When I look at the scripture, it says, as I said, underlining each according to his ability. It wasn't stated that what kind of ability they had. In my thinking, maybe this one who was given one bag of gold would have produced maybe 10 more bags. The thinking is maybe he would have produced one more, but maybe his ability was that one who would be able to produce at least 10 more bags. But because of his ability, he went ahead. Because of his fear, he went ahead and hid the bag of gold in the ground. Fear causes a lot of us people to bury our talents within ourselves. We don't get to expose our talents because we are afraid. Think of the stories that will never be written. Think of the potential that will never be realized. Think of the sermons that will never be written. Think of the leadership that will never be given because of fear. Many times we as Christians get to be afraid. We get to hide the best ideas that if implemented, they would have changed the world. But because of fear, we end up hiding these things in ourselves, and we don't get to expose them. Many times we as people are afraid of being made fun of. What if I fail? We fear hard work. We fear the unknown. We fear spirits of fear that brings in fear themselves. And when we add all these possibilities, the list is endless. Because of fear, the third servant was thrown into the outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. I believe this is a place of regret that many of us, at the end of this life, we may end up going into. To say, what if I preached that sermon that I wanted to preach? What if I did this that God had predestined for me to do, and I didn't do it? I was so afraid. Fear robs the joy and peace of us as Christians. It fixes our thoughts on us instead of fixing our thoughts on God. We get to think that our problems are much bigger than what God has prepared for us. Fear cripples the Christian. We are crippled because of fear. We are restrained because of fear. We don't get to realize our goals and our dreams because we are so afraid. But there is the good news. The Bible, however, brings good news, whereby God's word has much to say about fear. Wherever you find fearful people in Scripture, you repeatedly find God's response. And God's response over fear is, do not fear. God's response over fear is, do not fear. Don't be afraid. I am with you. In fact, it's the Bible's most frequent command. Many scholars debate on how many times maybe it is written in the Bible, do not be afraid. But one thing that is certain is that we are commanded not to be afraid. We are commanded not to fear many times in the Bible. It may sometimes seem to be easier said than done. If I preach to you, do not fear, as the Bible says, it may sometimes sound easier said than done. But that's why God doesn't leave the matter as a mere command. He supplies us with solid reasons not to fear, and he calls us by faith to apply them. God knows us fully. He knows when we get worried or become anxious. He knows we are human. And yet, God gives us many reminders to fear not. And to fear not means to trust God instead of believing our present situation is bigger than the God who we serve. God wants us to trust him, to trust that he will be enough no matter what the situation that we are going through. God will always be enough no matter what situation we are going through. It is important to understand why God tells us not to be afraid. It's not because what we are facing is easy. What we may be facing may be hard. And God knows that what we're facing is hard. It's not easy. But God tells us, in the world we'll have trials. It's a certainty. In life we'll have troubles. Just like it is written on John 16 verse 33, which reads, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In the world we'll have trouble, but God has already overcome the world. And we are still told to fear not. God tells us to fear not because he goes through the trials with us. He is there no matter what we are facing. Psalm 46 verse 1 to 3 says, God is our refuge and strength and an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give away and mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, the mountains quake with their surging, God is always our refuge and strength. Imagine this as described here, that though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and mountains quake with their surging, God is still our refuge and strength. God is always there for us. We need to dwell in God's truth and God's character for us to overcome fear. As we hear from many places, as it says that fear is the opposite of faith. Faith believes without seeing the desired result. Just as it is said in Hebrews 11 verse 1, which says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is an assurance of what we do not see, and it's the having of confidence in the things that we hope for. But on the other hand, fear worries about how things will turn out, looking at the circumstances. Fear brings in, we get to form situations in our heads, like what if it goes on this way? And fear does that always in our hearts. What I'm saying is, it is possible for us as Christians to have faith in God and still be fearful. You don't doubt that God is going to work out our situations, but many times we feel like, okay, maybe God answers, but he may not answer me in this way. Maybe he may answer me in a certain way. And many times many of us don't want no's from God. We always want yeses for our prayers. So how then can we, as Christians, fight against our fears? There are three ways that we can fight against our fears as seen from the scriptures that we've read. Firstly, we can fight fear by remembering that we are God's children. God is our Father, and we can fight fear knowing who our Father is, and we are God's children. And we can fight fear knowing that God is always there for us and with us. Secondly, we can fight fear by recognizing that our Savior is with us. And thirdly, we can fight fear by relying on God's strength and protection. Let's look at verse 8 and 9 of Isaiah 41 again. Verse 8 and 9 says, But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its furthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. God engages his people in verse 8 and 9 by reminding us who we are. We are his children, and we were rescued and redeemed by him. And in fact, in Christ, these realities are brought more near to us in many clear ways. In ways like, just like in Israel, we have become God's servants. Just like in Jacob, we have been chosen by his grace. And like Abraham, we are God's friends. And this is brought more closer to us through Christ. Moreover, we belong to Jesus, those who belong to Jesus have been taken, called, and have been chosen. And since we belong to Jesus Christ, we haven't been rejected. God says, I am your God. And meditating upon this truth will change the way how we face fear in our lives. We should always remember that we are God's children. And meditating upon this will always change how we face fear, knowing that we have a Father who is our God. Imagine you are a son or a daughter of the king of the land, just like the kingdom movies as they present to us. Imagine you are a son or a daughter of the king, and you're walking around the kingdom. You would know that no one would attack you because everyone knows you. Everyone knows that you are the daughter or the son of the king, and you have all the power. May we walk in this life just as that. May we always meditate upon that truth, knowing that we have a Father who is greater and who is greater than anyone. And that is God, who is our Father. And secondly, we can fight fear by recognizing that our Savior is with us. God tells us in verse 10 what he regularly reminds his fearful people throughout the scriptures, and that is, I am with you. We can recall the promise that is on Psalm 23, which says, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. God is always with us. Or listen to the psalmist in Psalm 118, verse 6 to 7, which says, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. A few Sundays ago, Kate preached on, who do you know God as? Many of us shouted, who do we know God as? We know God as our helper. We know God as our redeemer. We know God as our all in all. We know God as our healer. Who is God to you? Who do you know God as? He is your Father. He is our Savior. May we know God as our Savior and the one who is always there guiding and protecting us in everything that we do. Many times in a month like this one, January, as we are starting the year like this, the responsibility that comes with the month may be too much for a lot of people. A lot of people may be going through, may have to pay bills, may have to pay school fees, may have to buy farm inputs, and a lot of other extended families may be expecting from you as well. And the responsibilities that the month brings in may be overwhelming to us. We may doubt that, okay, am I going to make it through? But my reminder to you is, this is not the first year. You are not a first year. God has done it before, and God is going to do it again. We have a Father who is our Savior. We have a Father who is our provider. And he has done it before, and we need to meditate on the past victories, for they beget faith to us. They bring us more faith. We need to meditate on who God is and what he has done before. Even if we doubt this truth that God is always with us and God is always there for us, it doesn't change who God is. We may doubt it, but it doesn't change who God is. God is always there with us through the troubled waters, just as it is written on chapter 43 of Isaiah. Verse 1, it says, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you over. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. The flames will not set you ablaze. Even though life may take us through the fires or the deep waters, we have a promise here to say we will not be swept away or fire will not engulf us. And Romans 5, verse 1 to 7 says as well, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. In this life, we are not promised tragedy-free life. We'll go through troubles. We'll go through many other things that would disturb our lives. But we glory in all our sufferings. For we know that perseverance produces good character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Knowing that our Savior is with us, we can also fully know that God is our God. He will strengthen us and he will help us, as he says in Isaiah 41. One reason we fear various situations or people or events is because we wrongly assume that we must face many of such situations alone. We as people feel like, I'll get this done. I'll go through this alone. But God is always telling us that as long as we belong to Christ, we will not go through these challenging moments alone. God will be there with us. Fear has the power to make a lot of us feel insignificant. We may get to feel insignificant because we are so afraid. We don't get to realize our dreams. We don't get to realize our visions that we had because many of us get to be afraid. And we don't get to achieve what was planned for us in the first place. Fear would, as I've said, that fear would make you feel insignificant, but God says, do not be afraid. Just as it is written in chapter 41, verse 14 to 17 as well. I want to read it to you, what God says about those who may be afraid, who may feel insignificant. It says, do not be afraid, you worm Jacob. Little Israel, do not fear. Worm Jacob and little Israel, do not fear. I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. So now you should see how the help is coming in. See, I'll make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them and reduce the hills to chaff. You winnow them, the wind will pick them up and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst, but I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. God will always be there for us. Lastly, we'll see how we can fight fear. And that is, we can fight fear by relying on God's strength and protection, not relying on our own strength. Our God is not only with us, but is also fully powerfully with us, for us. God calls us not to fear because he says, I'll strengthen you and I will help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand, the hand of power as mentioned in scripture. As I said, we are not promised a trouble-free life. In this life, we'll always face troubles. Maybe friends may forsake us. Families may abandon us. Families may die. We may lose our loved ones. And bosses may fire us from our workplaces. We may have troubles in this world. But God promises to be our strength and our protection. In all these things that we may pass through, God assures us that he will strengthen us, he himself, and uphold us with his righteous right hand. I always have an imagery of a father holding up a son passing by the river, whereby the father will always hold on to the son to make sure that the son is not swept away by the waters. Even if we are not promised a tragedy-free life, but God through Isaiah does guarantee that amidst our understandable fears, he loves us, is for us, is with us, and will help and uphold us. Nothing will ever happen to us outside his sovereign and wise and perfect will. God knows whatever is happening to us and whatever we are going through. God knows it. God will walk with us through any and every crisis. He will help us to handle them in a God-pleasing way. In his own ways, he will help us to go through such troubles that we may go through. We'll always fight fear with God on our side, knowing that he is our strength and protection, he is our savior, and we are his children. We should always remember on this truth and meditate upon it as we grow in Christ. We are no longer slaves to fear. We are now the children of God. And for those who are not yet children of God and would want to be children of God, to partake in this promise that God will always take care of them, God will always be there for them, and they would like to understand, how can I be a child of God? We'll have prayer counselors around the room wearing a tag that says, "How can I pray with you?" You may want to receive Jesus Christ. You are the reason why you are here. He is the reason why you are here now. He wants you to go back to him. He wants you to start fresh for this year and to start with him as your guide. He wants to guide and protect you, to hold you by his righteous right hand. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and be born again. Let us pray. Our Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for the promises that you've given us to say you'll always be there for us. We shouldn't be afraid. Lord, we thank you for you are always holding us by the hand. May you lead us. Your leading is always the best, Lord. May you go before us. In whatever we do, Lord, may we walk with you, Lord. May you lead us. May you guide us. May you protect us, Lord. Forgive us for the times that we've been afraid and we haven't realized what you placed in us, and we went ahead and buried our talents in the ground. May we not be afraid for this year, Lord. May we go ahead and do what you have called us to do in this year. May we live a life that is pleasing unto you, Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, may you go before us. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray. Amen.